Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's training camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twinkies. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Vic Fangio named Drew Locke the starting quarterback for week one of the preseason. Did he give him an advantage in the battle against Teddy Bridgewater? Interesting conversation that we'll have, you know, whenever my co-host decides to show back up. I mean, this guy is really unbelievable. To say this is now a regular basis where we just come back from break and he's just simply not with us.
I get out of here now that these breaks are killing me.
I mean, seriously. Look, I mean, these breaks are so short, just moseying around, you know. Just like, oh, next thing you know, I eating some Gardados. Like, oh, let me go run to the restroom real quick.
Oh,
and then, you know,
dude.
I mean, like, just like moseying out of the bathroom.
I mean,
next thing I know, I see Richie just staring at me like, I'm like, are you serious, Richie?
Yeah,
we already started.
Richie, how long was the last break?
Five and a half.
Right.
I was just talking to you. You're sitting there 48 seconds ago.
Yeah.
You waited until the last minute of the break to go do your thing.
Well, right, because I'm just sitting here like I'm just enjoying some Gardados and some, you know, just looking up online what's going on. And the next thing I was like, oh, let me just run to the restroom real quick, right, and just go walk over there and thinking I have more time than what I have.
Do we have to put up a shot clock for you?
Yes, that'd be good. Let's get a shot clock.
Do we have to time it like the Broncos
Let's
water
get a
breaks?
Shot clock. Yes, the Bronc. Yes, because they get 5 minutes.
They
That's
do.
Usually what our breaks are now.
They do.
It just takes some adjusting to get used to, Zach. I mean, you've got caught a couple times. I've gotten caught a few more than a couple times. It's just the way it goes.
My man 475, put your name on and give me a shout. He says Stokely bidding on them digital gorillas during the break.
That's good.
I love it.
All right. When Vic named Drew Locke the starter for week one of the preseason, did he give him a built-in advantage in the battle over Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, I think the built-in advantage for me is going second. I like to go second. Like, let me leave the lasting impression. Let me leave everybody with, wow, okay. You know, I don't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. Like, what happened recently? And especially with Drew's history and Teddy's non-history, if Teddy goes out there and plays well, that's going to be the last one, I think, Zach. Well, I don't think we're going to see him much in that third one against the Rams. And even if we do, there's nothing to gather from that. You want to know why there's nothing to gather from that?
Because the opposition will be playing the threes?
Yes, because it's the Rams. And the Rams don't play anybody. Matthew Stafford isn't playing. Not saying that, you know, he has anything to do with the Broncos situation, but he's not playing at all preseason. Sean McVay very rarely plays his guys at all. I can guarantee you in that third preseason game against the Rams, he's not playing any of his top flight guys. I mean, Ramsey's not playing. Aaron Donald's not going to be playing. I mean, their guys aren't going to be playing in that game. So what do you evaluate? Ones versus twos? Ones versus threes? There's no evaluation there. So you really have two evaluations.
Right.
This week against Minnesota, which Drew's getting the start, and next week against the Seahawks. And that's pretty much it. And then that's another reason why you should just call it then. You're not going to get anything else. I've been saying for weeks now, after the Seahawks game, and it makes even more sense now.
It really does. Once you realize that it's the Rams as the third opponent.
That's right. Makes even more sense. Go figure. You know, things that I say over time just start to, like fine wine, right? Just get better and better. Age well.
Heavens.
That felt good.
I'm sure it did.
So
don't give yourself a callus patting yourself on the back.
Pat, both hands. But I would rather go last myself. You know, so I think in certain situations, I'd rather go first to put the pressure on the other guy. Like sometimes in golf, I'd rather tee off first. You know, you come down to 18th hole and it's like, all right, you know, lots on the line. You got a lot of bets on the line coming down here. A couple presses. If we presses there, you know, I'd rather go first to throw the pressure on the other guy. Right. But that's back to back. In this situation, you got a week apart, you know, all this and that. I think in this scenario with this quarterback competition, I would rather go second. Do you agree with that or do you think I got it wrong?
Well, I don't think there's a right or a wrong here.
Okay.
You know, so because everything that you just said makes sense. I think that if you're Drew, you have more opportunity this week. If you're the intended starter, I think that he's going to get more reps with the ones in practice. I mean, that's how I would forecast it. If you're planning on starting him.
You do?
I think so. If you know that.
But that's not fair. That's not fair.
That's not fair.
No. That's not fair.
I mean, if
what do you mean? Everything's 50-50. It doesn't matter who's starting. Like next week, I think it's still going to be 50-50 reps all the way throughout the week, even though Teddy's starting. Like you can't give Drew more reps against the Vikings than Teddy just because he's starting. I think it's still going to be 50-50. Wouldn't you agree with that, though? Once you take a step back, I mean, he's not going to skew more snaps for Drew just because he's starting, because practice matters a lot, too. And if you're giving Drew 80% of the snaps and Teddy only 20, I mean, that's really, you know, not fair. Just not fair.
Not fair.
We gotta have everything fair. Now, everything's got to be fair, Zach. Right down the middle.
You.
Double.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You want to know what? You're probably right about that. And this is something that we can check in with Nate Jackson on.
Probably. I know, but I'm not thinking that it's a slam dunk because it might be your way.
You know, like, my thought is, like, are you trying to have success this weekend in a preseason game? Like, if you know who the quarterback is.
That's not priority number one.
No, of course.
You're trying to evaluate these quarterbacks, and practice is really important. So that's why I think it's still going to be 50-50.
You know, it's still, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right. We'll check in with Nate.
The norm around here. Just the norm.
Jeez.
Just the norm. Another day.
The factuals.
What's today? Just another day. Hour number two.
Oh, Lordy.
But we'll see. Yeah, it could go either way, but I would just think that that's the way it should be handled.
More opportunity aside,
yeah.
I think there could also be a built-in advantage for Drew Lock here this week, because these two defenses the next 2 weeks are not created equal. The Minnesota Vikings were one of the worst defensive teams in professional football this past year. How many points a game the Vikings gave up?
27.5.
30.
Ooh.
30. You can just write it in every Sunday.
That's a 30 piece.
that's 10 more than 20.
Yeah, that's right.
15 wow. More than 15.
Yeah.
That's a 40 piece.
Yes.
That's 59 points. That's 9 more than 50.
That is 30 points. That's 9 more than 21.
Oh, Lord.
Perfect. Thank you,
and
Zach.
And if you don't know the context of that, that is audio from years ago. Kobe Bryant's last game and a montage of me on Snapchat, like, when I was on Snapchat.
Mouth straight purple. Went through a couple of them bottles. That strawberry wine. That Boone's wine. The Boone's farm.
He ain't lying. Yeah.
Mouth was purple, man. That's a great video. I love it. I love it.
Oh, Lord.
That will never get old.
Oh, and just a liner up the middle for the Astros. Oh, and he's coming
home.
Plate.
Play at the plate.
Safe. 2-1 Astros.
Take that, Bearcat.
Oh, I love that.
Give me that one more time.
Oh, I love that.
There we go.
So,
no, but to get us back on track here, uh-huh. or an attempt to,
yeah,
the Vikings in a sport that has 32 teams, they ranked 29th.
Yeah.
29th in defense. Seattle was more,
but they're different this year. They're different this year.
They are.
So, and they've always, they've always been a pretty good defense. And they were devastated with injuries last year in the secondary also. Every year's different. Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy. I'm expecting them to be better. But you're right. If they're not, you know, you're going up against a lesser defense, that obviously bodes well for you.
Right. Like, if you had a choice, if you're a quarterback,
is that a thought in the coach's mind at all?
Would you go up against the Vikings or the Seahawks, the Seahawks gave up an entire touchdown less per game a year ago.
You'd rather go up against the easier one. I mean, is that thought come into the coach's mind at all? Like, ooh, Drew's got a little bit easier.
I don't think so. I think this follows the formula of Drew's going to go first because he was here last year, and this is the way that we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, all right.
No, but over the overall evaluation, does that come into play is what I'm asking Not that. It's like the overall evaluation. Like, oh, well, Drew went up against a lesser-tier defense than Teddy. And
I guess it deserves to get mentioned because everything does, but I don't really think so. You just go up against who you go up against.
Yeah.
You know, do you ball out or not?
That's right.
So, all right, interesting conversation. If you want to react to it on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Maybe we can circle back to some of those responses. But first, could the Broncos go from worst to first? Among the eight teams that finished last in their division in 2020, ESPN ranked which is the most likely to finish on top in 2021. We'll tell you where the Broncos ranked on that list coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by...
Could the Broncos go from worst to first? Eight last place finishers a year ago. All right? Now, in the NFL, worst to first happens probably more regularly in the NFL than any other of the four major American sports.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
I don't know about hockey. Does it happen a lot in hockey? I mean, I remember the Avs had they were awful, you know, for those couple years, and then all of a sudden flipped around. So I'm not sure if it happens a lot in hockey or not.
But I still think it's more of a climb. Hockey's got that 82-game schedule, right? NFL is so compressed that I think that's part of the reason.
But in hockey, you get a goalie. Now you got a chance. So that's why, you know, football, you get a quarterback, you know, but still. Okay. I'm not going to sit there and argue, but I think hockey would be another one to kind of say, like, that one probably happens too. I would say football hockey.
Okay. The last place finishers from a year ago, the New York Jets in the AFC East, the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC North.
Okay, well, we can just say, you want to just go through? I mean, New York Jets ain't going to happen.
No.
They're not going to overtake the Bills, Patriots, or Dolphins in Zach Wilson's first year. So that's not going to happen there.
By the way, early returns on Zach Wilson,
shaky. Yeah.
Remember Patrick Mahomes' first couple training camp practices? It was like Mahomes threw four picks today.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, those kind of days.
Right. It's practice. It's trying to get better. He's not a finished product, right? So, I mean, he's not going to come in and, ooh. I mean, and he took contact on that. Went over the right field foul line, fans, like little thing, and the fan was reaching up, contact, and caught it, and won. He should have finished with a dunk on the guy's head.
Get two shots and one.
Right. That was pretty cool. Nice play by this right fielder for the Stros.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Are we
going to have to shut off the TV?
Probably, yeah. That's probably a good thing.
Okay.
I don't know. Do the listeners like when I interject my thoughts mid-game when a guy goes up like that? But great job by the bearded ass. Look a little like a small Tyler Palumbo. He got a nice beard going, but he pulled back. He realized that, you know, Astro guy in right field was coming for the ball, and he went up and he pulled his arm halfway back. A little bit of contact, held on through contact all the way through the catch, finished it, and it's an out.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I don't know if listeners want to hear that or not. If they don't want to hear it, we'll turn it off. If they do, we can leave it on. We'll leave it up to them, 303-713-1043.
If I had a guess.
They'd want to hear it.
They probably don't want to hear do baseball play-by-play in the middle of a football conversation.
No, I think they enjoy it. I do. Okay. It feels good. It feels natural. But if they don't, we'll listen to the people.
Okay.
303-713-1043, and we'll turn it off if it's bad. But you just have to help me get back on track because I kind of forgot.
And this is why. This is why.
Last place team. Okay, it's not happening with the Jets.
Like my son.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay.
Get over it. It's not happening with the Jets, and it's also not going to happen with the Bengals. They're not going to overtake all those teams. They should be better, with Burrow coming back. They got some more weapons, but you're talking about Ravens, Steelers, Browns. Ain't happening. Let's go. Next one.
Those are all double-digit win teams from a year ago.
Yeah, not
and
happening.
How often does that happen, that three teams in the same division all finish? How about this? Not one of them won 10 games. How often does it happen that three teams in a division win 11 games or more? That is rare. That is rare.
Yeah.
The Browns were 11-5, Ravens were 11-5, Steelers were 12-4. They were 11-0, then Mike Tomlin said, we're the only thing that's perfect about us is our record. And then they went 1-4 down the stretch. Just too soon. Jags at 1-15 a year ago finished last place in the AFC South.
Look, I'm not going to – I put them ahead a better chance than the other two. I mean, I think with the Colts, the injury history with Carson Wentz, his injury there. Titans, look, they're a good football team. But Houston stinks, so I think they're the third-place team right now. And if they get great play from Trevor Lawrence, defense – you know, I mean, do I think it's going to happen? No. But, if you know, range of possibilities, I got them ahead of the other two teams.
Yeah.
More likely than Cleveland. I mean, more likely than Cincy and the New York Jets.
And they also have Tim Tebow, where all things become possible.
Right. Anything is possible!
Oh, Lordy.
Right?
That's right.
And, I keep looking at that action I have on him. He's going to catch a ball this year from Trevor Lawrence. That's all I need.
Richie has one of those features, too.
I know. Me and Richie are together.
Love
so
it.
Let's go.
Then you got the Broncos at 5-11 in the AFC West. You got the Eagles finished last place in the NFC East at 4-11. The Detroit Lions were the last place team in the NFC North at 5-11. The Falcons were 4-12, finished last place in the NFC South. I don't know how they're that bad. And then the NFC West, it was the San Francisco 49ers at 6-10, finished last place in the West.
Okay, I mean, obviously the likelihood of them doing is pretty high, going from last to first.
Mm-hmm.
They're a really good football team. Things happen that went against them. Eagles, I don't think is going to happen. Broncos, it's not going to happen. You know, you got the Chiefs. The Falcons, not going to happen. You got Tampa. So I think that the most likely is 49ers, Jacksonville. Those two teams kind of flip-flop either way. I probably would give a slight edge to the 49ers because they're a really good football team.
Okay, so this happens all the time. Worst to first happened a year ago, by the way. You know who did it a year ago?
Who did it a year ago? How about Washington?
You're on it, man. Trivia Stokely.
Oops, I did it again. Oops, I did it again on your head.
I love it. In 2017, the Bears were 5-11. Next year, 12-4. That was 2018. 2017, the Eagles went from 7-9 to 13-3 in 2017. You go back to 2016, the Jags were 13-3. 2017, 10-6, first place. So, it's happened four times in the last 4 years. So, of the eight last-place finishers, where did the Broncos come in on the most likely to go from worst to first? I'll tell you next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
All right, ESPN put together this worst to first article. And so you got your eight last place finishers from a year ago.
Getting some good responses on my baseball commentary. I think it's a little bit more keep it going. But there is a lot of, turn off the TV, focus, Stoke. But we love it, Stoke, practicing for his game with Peyton. How about that? That's right. That's right. I'll be on that Monday night stage with Peyton and Eli.
Are you now?
Yeah.
You didn't share that.
Well, no, in my mind, I'm going to be there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I haven't officially been invited yet.
Eventually,
I invited myself.
You'll beat him down enough.
Right.
There.
I invited myself. So hopefully, if you invite yourself enough, then hopefully you get an invite.
Right.
Love it. Keep it up, Stoke. Let Stokely do commentary. You know, it's kind of 50-50. So that means, you know, unless it was an overwhelming majority, I'd like, no, don't do baseball commentary, like right in the middle of your thought on something else, then it stays. Then it stays. So that's the way it's going to be. I like it, Stoke.
I mean, do I get a vote here?
No. Okay. No, absolutely not.
I like to be good, but I also like to be lucky.
Okay. ESPN, where did the Broncos rank in terms of work? The likelihood of worst to first. The most unlikely in the NFL? Which team do you think it is?
The most unlikely.
To go from worst to first.
From worst to first. I'm trying to think of the teams now. I will say Cincinnati.
Okay, nope.
Jets?
No.
Oh, goodness.
Let
me go to baseball commentary.
It is the 5-11 Detroit Lions with the Green Bay Packers in their division.
Okay.
That is the most unlikely. All right, so there's eight divisions. The Lions were eighth. The seventh most unlikely is the Jets, followed by the Bengals.
Okay.
Followed by the Denver Broncos. So really, of the eight, they're in the back four.
Yeah.
And just for obvious reasons, you got to, you know, I don't know how much an elephant weighs. You're a new elephant owner. Maybe you could share that with me. But the elephant in the room.
I think like 3,500 pounds.
Elephant's got to weigh more than that, I would think.
3,500 tons. In between there. Couple tons.
An elephant.
2 tons. How about that?
22,400,000. We're looking at an Asian elephant. You're talking about between 8,000 and 9,000 pounds.
Okay.
African bush elephant. You're looking at about 13,000 pounds.
I'll have to see what
African
typical,
forest
like,
elephant
what type mine is. I don't know which type it is. So
between 6 and 13.
Okay.
It's a wide range.
Yeah.
Stokely's digital elephant.
Yeah.
Weightless.
Yes, weightless. Priceless. That's good.
The final four here are most likely candidates to go from worst to first. They had the Falcons at four, the Eagles as the next most likely, followed by the San Francisco 49ers, and ultimately the most likely team to go from worst to first, according to ESPN's Bill Barnwell, is the Jacksonville Jags.
Okay, I had 1 and 2 pegged, but I would have gave the edge to the 49ers.
Me too.
I just think they're a better football team. I understand their division's tougher,
yep,
but they're a really good football team, and they finished last year because of injuries. The year before, they were in the Super Bowl. They got Trey Lance. It's going to be interesting to see how they use him. Sprinkling him in there, will he be the starter by week 5, week 10? Who knows?
What's your guess? Like, do you think that they're pliable, or do you think they have a firm plan in place the way that we saw, like, the Miami Dolphins? It looked like the way that they operated, they had, like, a benchmark
right.
in time that they were going to transition to Tua from Fitzy. Do you think it's something like that, or it's like, hey,
no,
we have an open mind that this guy could start?
I think they're flexible. You know, that's the right approach, especially when you have a good football team. Like, you have a Super Bowl football team. That team could go to the Super Bowl, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye. They were just there a couple years ago. Pretty much the same roster. I mean, very talented roster. So you can't have a plan like that in place. You got to be, you know, flexible with what you see, with what you're witnessing. Now, if your football team starts to stink, yeah, you throw them in there quickly. Jimmy G's out, you throw them in there quickly. If they're playing really good football, then you know what? You throw them in there sporadically, do some RPO stuff with them, give the defenses, you know, more to have to work on the following weeks. And that's the way you operate. But you do use them a little bit. But you have to be open-minded to what you're watching and how your football team is playing.
That'd be a little bit unorthodox, bringing him in for select packages. But we've seen New Orleans has done it.
Right, yeah.
With Taysom
Hill. Yeah, so it's not like crazy, and it works for them. You know, in certain situations, you should. I think in Jacksonville, Timmy time, right? Goal line, short yardage, put him in the backfield. Wildcat it. Stuff like that. It's not hard for offenses to learn, and once you learn it, you know, you have 3 or 4 plays, and then you kind of build off of that through the year. Throughout the year, you put like 1 extra play in every week, right? But defenses have to prepare. Oh, gosh, we got to, our short yardage goal line, we got to be preparing for this Wildcat stuff with Tim Tebow. It's just extra work, or this, you know, these packages with Trey Lance, because once you get that running quarterback, now it even sings out. offense and defense. And defenses have to account for that running. And it's a huge advantage for offenses, especially in short yardage situations when they know you're probably going to try to run the football.
Someone says you could use Trey Lance like Slash with the Steelers.
There you go.
That's an all-time nickname.
Yeah.
Slash.
I mean, absolutely. There's a lot that you can do with a guy like that just to get him going. So, the Saints did a great job with Taysom Hill, and they kind of expanded that role over time. We've seen it with other players now. I mean, LaVisca Chenault was doing some of that stuff last year in Jacksonville and did a good job with it. So, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like for him, but it just adds another dimension to your offense.
Right, right. All right, hey, real quick update on the friction between myself and the drive when it comes to this damn mug.
Oh, yeah.
I took it from D-Mac, okay?
Give me that chain.
He took it back, all right? He got it back. I got it back from him, and here's my final. This is my final stand, okay? I hid that mug that D-Mac's wife got for him.
Right.
I got it back. I hid it. It's here in the studio.
D-Mac got for y'all. I mean, D-Mac's wife got for y'all, right?
Yes. Y'all. Yes, she got it for us because the dishwasher here at the fan, I don't think works or just no one runs it. Not sure which is which. But so she got him a cup. It's a Broncos cup that I kind of commandeered.
Yeah.
And made it both of ours. He took it back. I got it back from him. We went Ocean's 11 here during the last break. Richie killed the stream because apparently Kistner, watching the stream, watched me find it the last time.
Oh.
And he hit up Richie. He's like, yo, I just saw Zach found the mug. He's like, how do you know? He's like, just saw it on the stream during a commercial break.
Wow.
So we had Richie kill the stream, all right? Like Brad Pitt and George Clooney in Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
All right? And I hid that thing. It is here in the studio. It's the last time that I'm going to hide it. If Tyler D-Mac finds it, it's theirs.
Game over?
But game over. So, because I can't play this game forever. So, good luck to those fellows.
Okay.
And see if they find it.
There we go.
All right. The first official depth chart for the Broncos has been released. And there's more than just a quarterback battle that is yet to be determined. Take a dive into it. Coming up next.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
The first official depth chart came out for the Denver Broncos yesterday. And there's more than just the quarterback battle that has yet to be determined. Did you see the depth chart?
Yeah, I peeked at it. You're talking about left tackle? I mean, excuse me, right tackle?
Right tackle.
Yeah. I noticed that because I was looking to see who they would have starting. And they had co-starters there also.
They did. They had co-starters. Not Bobby Massey, Robert Fleming.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we thought this thing was going to be coming in.
Yeah.
And when we heard the day before training camp, when Vic was up there talking with George Payton, he said, don't sleep on Calvin Anderson. He said, don't sleep. Calvin tell you the same thing in the hype video, which he ends with the shh.
Yeah.
Is there anything like more perfect than having a hype video but ending it with a shh?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's like you know, grind in silence. Here's my hype video.
Right. But here you go.
I love it. No, but it was co-starters are Calvin Anderson and Bobby Massey.
Where's Fleming at? I didn't even see him as a next guy. Like where is he? Has he been practicing? Is he healthy? I mean, are all these guys healthy? I don't pay much attention to the tackle position during practice. Who's the starter today? That's kind of it, unless they get beat. I'm watching the quarterbacks and the wide receivers.
Right.
Right? I mean, and it's hard sometimes to see the one-on-one. So is Fleming healthy? Has he been practicing? Is he good to go? Does anybody know?
That's a good question. Is
I remember one of them was kind of banged up, right?
I think that was Fleming, but that was weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know. But look, I'm looking at the I'm looking at the ESPN depth chart. Robert Fleming is not third string.
But yeah, that's what I was. Well, I just know that the one that I saw, I think I saw it on Kliss's. I didn't see him. I didn't see him like as the next guy after them. So I was kind of confused. Like he must be hurt or something.
Yeah, he is not on the Broncos official roster. And excuse me, I said his name wrong. I said Robert Fleming. I meant Cam Fleming. No, the third string right tackle right now is listed as Drew Himmelman.
So where is he? Is he on the depth chart at all? Is he on the left tackle?
No, yes, that's where he is. He's listed as the backup left tackle.
Okay.
Interesting.
So he's not even really in the competition then.
No.
I mean, if you don't have him, like, I mean, you could have put them all three as co-starters. I mean, why not? This is kind of the thing that they like to do, right? I mean, that's kind of their thing.
A trifecta of starting tackle.
So, you know, the co-starter thing, they really like to do that. You know, they'll even do it in the game. Even start. Let's just start them both in the game. We've seen it.
Start,
right?
Start both tackles.
Running backs. Yeah. Right? They started both running backs. They so, did. Hey, go jumbo first play and let's start both tackles. Let's go jumbo. They could do it. Hey, they could do it. Let's make sure everybody's happy, Zach. Let's go jumbo formation. Go big, big, big. We could start both running backs and both tackles. How about that? Start the rookie
start
running back.
Both quarterbacks, too.
How about that? Put one at a receiver. We're not going to throw it anyway. Just going to run it. Yeah, let's make sure everybody's happy here. Zach, what do you think about that? But, I mean, they could have made it a three-way starter, you know, for the left tackle, for the right tackle, excuse me, and put Cam Fleming, Bobby Massey, and Calvin Anderson on it. But that tells me that Cam Fleming isn't even in the conversation.
No.
We knew that Vic was high on Calvin Anderson when he said, hey, oh, don't forget Calvin Anderson. And here you go. It looks like it's going to be a two-man race for that job at right tackle.
All right. It's something else to follow this week out in Minnesota, then ultimately this weekend. In the Astros-Rockies game, end of the fifth, Astros 2-1. Not enough. Not enough. All right.
A couple more.
There's something else that stuck out at from this depth chart. Patrick Surtain was not listed as a starting corner for the Broncos.
Yeah. Not surprised. Not surprised. You know, you signed Ronald Darby to a big deal. Kyle Fuller, you brought him in on, a one-year deal. Was paying him a lot of money. I mean, those are your two guys that you kind of projected to start. And, you know, why rush Pat Surtain in there right away if you don't have to? I'm sure he's going to play a lot. You know, you see a lot of three defensive backs on the field.
But
sometimes
about,
you see four.
What about Bryce Callahan?
I got you. You need depth. Hey, let's just see how this thing plays out. Depth chart is not the end-all, be-all. That doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be first game of the season. That doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to be 80% of the time out there. I'm sure in certain packages and formations and different things that they'll have, that they'll be using three or four DBs a lot. And I'm sure they're going to find a way to get him on the football field a lot, especially if he proves that they can really trust him. That's what it comes down to. You know, you got veteran guys that you've seen play. You kind of know what you're going to get from those guys. And unless they falter, those probably are going to be the guys that you roll with for the majority of the season. And you just slowly work Surtain into the lineup. Until he gains your trust. And then, you know, you can slowly start giving him a little bit more.
Okay. I was going to say, how can you gain trust if you're not on the field? Like, right. You got your two starting cornerbacks.
He'll be on the field.
You're paying Bryce Callahan like $6.5 million this season, which is still, you know, something that we talked about in the offseason. A little bit surprising that in the third year of his contract, playing just 10 games, they didn't come to him and try to rework
still
that
could.
Deal.
Still could.
I don't know. I just question how much, you know,
we'll see. I mean, look, injuries. Darby has had an injury history. I mean, things happen, so it's hard to project right now. But even if everybody stays healthy, he's going to play a lot. And if he plays good, you know, he'll play even more. That's the thing. I mean, he'll get time out there to gain the coach's trust.
I hope so.
He will.
I hope so.
That's what you do with the number nine overall pick. You got to play him.
But I'll say this, and I'm not trying to drudge up the old argument, but for the build the roster people, you got to continue to build this roster. Not one rookie is going to start on this team. Not one.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't know. You can't say that week eight.
No,
you don't know.
No.
I mean, maybe not week one.
No.
So what does that mean?
Well, it means that your roster's pretty good.
Yes.
And if there was ever an opportunity to draft a quarterback with a pretty good roster and a top 10 pick, it was this situation this past draft.
Yes.
That's fake news.
No, you're absolutely right. But that you don't just draft one to draft one.
And I understand that.
Right.
Too. And hoping this goes back to hopefully it was about the evaluation
right.
of guys and not a philosophy. James Merrillat of DenverFan.com. Joins us.
What's up, fellas?
How we doing?
James? I'm good. I came in on the middle of that conversation, and
What do you think?
Well, it reminds me, I'm watching Hard Knocks last night, and boy, there's Micah Parsons out there running with the ones. He would have looked good. I mean, if you're building your roster and you don't have that many holes, that guy would be starting week one at the Giants had George Payton taken him instead of a fourth cornerback. We talked about it on right after the draft of, hey, you may say you love this class, but there's not a guy they picked that's going to start. Melvin Gordon's going to start about ahead of Javonte Williams. That's just going to happen. The more time you spend at camp, the more readily apparent that becomes. And it turns into this, oh, you're ripping Pat Surtain. I'm not. It was a luxury pick.
But you don't draft, James. You don't ever draft a player or a position by what they're going to do for you their rookie year.
No,
you got to know that, and you got to remember that when you're talking about this draft class. You can't be that short-sighted. You have to look towards the future. You draft good football players, and everything will be A-okay.
I get that.
It doesn't sound like you get
but
it, though.
No, but they've been searching for a middle linebacker basically as long as they've been searching for a quarterback. It's been
Same. Brandon Marshall, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Danny Trevathan left after the Super Bowl to go to the Bears.
There you go.
And then, you know, Brandon Marshall left after that, so now they're kind of looking for two. And
Well, let's not think that both those guys were, you know, Ray Lewis or Brian Urlacher playing that position either.
No, but they were significant upgrades over what they have now.
Very
right?
True.
They were guys, if Danny Trevathan had stayed here, we wouldn't have been every year going into free agency and into the draft saying, well, you know, inside linebacker, that's at the top of their list. So
Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Micah Parsons was a guy that would have made sense.
Sure.
On the other side of the ball, Rashawn Slater would have made sense, right? We all knew Juwan James wasn't going to play 17 games this year. He wound up in.
I think Zach thought he was. Didn't you say he was going to be All Pro this year or Pro Bowl? Zach doesn't. I'm not letting him forget this one. He called a shot on Juwan James that he likes. You know, just for that thing to go away, but it won't go away. Just like his Rockies prediction, I'm not going to let it go. What was your shot call there?
This is where optimism. It's where optimism gets you in trouble.
No one bats 1,000, Stokes.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying. You don't draft just for this year. But it's why when I see quotes from, you know, Vic Fangio saying, you can never have enough cornerbacks. Well, that's just not true. If you had 14 of them, that wouldn't be too many. Like, you can't play all of them. So I get what he's maybe trying to say, but to say you can never have enough cornerbacks is ridiculous. And it's why when I see what George Payton said, you know, last week to Peter King, when he says, you know, the quarterbacks become available more often than franchise cornerbacks, you just want to start banging your head against the table of like, really?
So let's talk about that. You have a piece up at DenverFan.com. It's really the genesis of mm-hmm. why I wanted you to come in and sit here today. We talked a little bit about it in hour number one, but go ahead and lay your thoughts out.
Yeah, I mean, he does not say franchise quarterbacks and franchise cornerbacks. He just says quarterbacks become available. But I think there's things you can read into that, right? Like, if you look at what they did in Minnesota while he was there, it was, we just need a guy playing that position. I mean, it's a team that's brought in Kirk Cousins and Sam Bradford and drafted Teddy Bridgewater and Christian Ponder. They went with, you know, Brett Favre and see if they could get any, you know, blood out of that turnip at the end. They haven't put a premium on the quarterback position.
Blood out of that turnip.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
You never have heard that one?
Get blood out of a turnip?
Yeah. I've heard that one.
No, and, I've heard like blood out of a stone.
No, turnip. Yeah.
Same kind of
gotcha. Okay.
Concept.
It's real.
Thank you. Thank you, Stoke.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for, to clarify for y'all too.
But, you know, they never put an emphasis on that position of like, we got to get a quarterback. Otherwise, we just can't get this done. There's a reason why the Vikings haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1976. Like 45 years since they've been to a Super Bowl. Okay, don't solve the quarterback position, but they've had some darn good cornerbacks during that time. And if you look,
well, that says he doesn't love either one of those. I think that's the base of this whole thing that you can't forget. We have to remember, like, let's go back to George Payton really didn't love either one of these guys. Okay, and I think that's, if he did, I really do believe that he would have taken one of them. So that's my thought process here.
Okay, and that's fine, but that is also the path where the only option, or that's suggesting that the only option George Payton had for solving this problem was sitting there at 9 and letting a quarterback fall into his lap. It was an option, but it wasn't the only option, right? Like Kyle Shanahan loved Trey Lance. He went from 12 to 3 and got Trey Lance.
Right.
So if that was your guy, you were sitting at 9. You could have gone up and got Trey Lance. You decided not to. If you really wanted to go with a veteran because, hey, Vic Fangio, he got to win this year. Look at this defense. We're in win-now mode. Then beat out the Rams for Matthew Stafford. Like, there were other ways to go other than just, well, we sat at 9, and I don't love Mac Jones, and I don't love Justin Fields, so we're going to go with Drew and Teddy. Like, I just don't like the we tried or and it didn't work or we didn't have any other option. Yeah, you did. So if you're going to say quarterbacks are available more often, well, available is one thing. But did you go out and get them? Did you make a move? Like, you didn't.
Well, James, you didn't go out and get KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. So, I mean, don't be so hard on George. Look in the mirror.
Sometimes we miss. Sometimes we miss.
Pretty good. That was pretty good.
Oh, James. And wow, it was there. You were rambling on for like 5 minutes. It's like, this guy's definitely going to say it. Didn't want to interrupt you, but when you kept going at a certain point, I just had to steal it from you, buddy.
I have complained for like 2 weeks about how you're cheating to win that.
Yeah.
And I had it right in front of me.
You had it. That's why you got to look at yourself.
But myself.
Here.
And Stokely's on the other side of the glass begging me to jump in.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm over there waving my arms.
Well, you were looking at me. I'm thinking, am I saying something? It doesn't make sense.
Do I have something like, do I have a booger in my nose?
Right.
Like what's going on?
Why is he looking at me like I should have known?
Yep.
You know, what I said to Stoke earlier in the show is that, well, of course, quarterbacks become available every season. No one knows that better than Broncos country.
Right.
I mean, seriously, the guys like Case Keenums and Joe Flacco's and Teddy Bridgewater's, yeah, they are going to be available next offseason. It's not what we're looking for here.
Right. Exactly. We've gone down that path. Now, do significant upgrades, do difference makers become available every year?
No, I would contend this past offseason was sort of the aberration, right? Like Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson before the legal trouble, he was available. You could make an argument for Carson Wentz.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers, like
the year before,
unusual.
The year before, you had Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, and then a lot of people. If you're George Payton, let's throw out some names here. Next year, Aaron Rodgers, possibly Deshaun Watson. Hey, who knows? Russell Wilson.
Could
maybe. And that thing, if that offense over there, they got a new coordinator, if it blows up, you know, you just never quite know. There could be some big names available next offseason.
Derek Carr?
But more, he's not a big name.
No,
but
more often than not, we'll see
an upgrade.
We'll see that list of, you know, potential free agents that comes out, you know, January, February, before free agency starts in March. And there's always big name quarterbacks on there, like Drew Brees would pop up in years past. And almost every single time those guys re-sign with their team, because those general managers know how hard it is to find a quarterback. And if they have one, they're not going to let him go. I mean, look what Green Bay did to patch things up and buy themselves another year with Aaron Rodgers to try and patch it up even further, right? They gave the guy basically everything he wanted just to beg him to come back because they didn't want to start over with Jordan Love or Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater or whoever the Broncos would have sent him. So I just think, yeah, could Russell Wilson hit the open market? Sure. But it would be much more shocking if he did than if he just stayed in Seattle.
Of course.
Same with Deshaun Watson. Like,
Deshaun Watson's gone. He is 100%
gone.
He's gone. That thing is not salvageable, James. They don't want him. He doesn't want to be there. They're not even letting him practice right now. I mean, they're not even letting him, you know, like he just takes off for 5 days or whatever. I mean, he's not going to the game. I mean, you really think that thing can be fixed? He won't show up, and now they're done with him. So I think he's 100% gone.
I just think, by and large, it takes an exceptional kind of circumstance for a really good quarterback, a difference maker, to hit the open market.
Agreed.
It's Peyton Manning coming off a neck surgery, missed the whole year. They had the number one pick, and they take Andrew Luck. Okay, how often does that all come together, that perfect storm? I think it's pretty rare. So if the plan is, let's just sit around and wait for lightning to strike, like we're Ben Franklin with our kite, okay, all right, that's the plan. But let's just keep drafting cornerbacks while we wait for it. It to me, it seems like you're not being aggressive enough. And I guess I go back to Kyle Shanahan's a guy that was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. And he realized we don't have a good enough guy at that position because you know what? If he hits Emmanuel Sanders wide open on a post, we're hoisting the trophy.
Yeah.
So he went from 12 to 3 to get a guy to upgrade that position. That tells you all you need to know. And here it's, we're going to sit back and, you know, continue to try to win with the same formula that year after year after year after year proves that you can't win, which is a really good defense and a mediocre quarterback. It just doesn't work.
What'd you make of Hard Knocks?
Oh, I didn't see it.
No. Pretty good.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, pretty good. I thought Dak came across really well.
Yes.
Zeke? I think he's a great player, but you kind of, things you had seen about him before, yeah. You're kind of like, I don't know if I like that guy.
Yeah.
He came across well. Mike McCarthy came across better than I expected.
Yeah,
really?
Showcasing his personality.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy, who is just kind of like two scoops of vanilla for me, like, he came across as really likable.
Generic vanilla.
Yeah. I thought he was really good.
Not the bluebell vanilla.
And Micah Parsons, who I mentioned earlier, he jumped out like, man, that guy, he just, and, you know, they're down on the field. They got him mic'd up. So for all we know, that's exactly the kind of banter you hear down on the Broncos practice field. We just can't hear it. But just sort of, you know, when you go down and you watch 8, 9 practices where it just seems dead, and then you watch that guy and like, oh, he could have been here. Like, he could have been here maybe providing a little bit of enthusiasm and energy and excitement. But no, it was good. If you, if you're offended by F-bombs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Well, it's HBO.
Maybe don't watch it.
You know what you're getting into with HBO.
Even under the umbrella of HBO and Hard Knocks, Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy.
Oh my gosh!
It's every other word. I mean, but that's probably
they're making Rex Ryan blush.
I'm telling you,
really?
It was like that. But that's probably how it is more often than not.
No doubt. And it didn't offend me at all. It was just sort of
saying,
it was an observation I made of like, well, and I this is maybe a sign of my poor parenting skills. I'm watching it with my two older boys who play football, but they're a sophomore and a 12-year-old. And I'm like, this may not be the best thing I've done, but hey, they're going to, if they keep playing that sport, they're going to hear it. But Dan Quinn was to like another level.
I know. It's actually,
and I was
hysterical
with Dan Quinn in Seattle. And I don't recall him being that vulgar. So that's that kind of, you know, he was more, a little bit more reserved, but, okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't like vulgar, like gross.
Correct. I was just going to say that. It's just like matter of fact. It's like, this is at the start and end of every sentence is this is just what we're going
to
say.
It's like if you're talking to someone who says like all the time.
Yeah.
That's how Dan Quinn is with the F-bomb.
Perfect.
It was very entertaining.
I recorded it, so it's probably going to be on the to-do list tonight. But so y'all thought it was a good first episode.
I thought it was pretty good, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. There have been years where you watch it and you're like, okay, when's this episode going to end? You're kind of checking your phone to see what time it is. Last night was one where it ended like, oh, man, I wasn't ready for it to be done. Like, it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
We have joint practices happening this week in Minnesota. Stoke and I were just talking out the idea, not saying that there is a distinct advantage, but talking out the idea of could there be an advantage for one of these quarterbacks for the placement of their week that they're starting. And a point that I brought up is, look, Minnesota Vikings were one of the worst defenses in professional football last year. They gave up 30 points a game, 29.7 points per contest. That's a full touchdown more than the Seattle Seahawks gave up. And that's who Teddy Bridgewater will have in week 2.
Yeah.
Any thought to that conversation?
Well, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, the other factor in that is, well, how many of the guys who actually were on the field being either bad at defense or good at defense last year are even going to play in these games? You know, especially against Seattle, like how many starters are going to go? I don't know. But I also think the other advantage is the fact that, well, Drew's going to get to see this defense for 2 weeks or for 2 days and then go out and play against them. It's not going to be totally new and totally fresh, and there'll be some familiarity. So I think, you know, there have been a lot of obstacles put in front of Drew Lock. I like to point them out, not as an excuse, just to kind of provide some context and some perspective. I do think in this equation, he got a better deal than Teddy Bridgewater did. I think the first preseason game, I think, is a better one to get.
Well, I look at it as, you know, I'm not really looking at the teams or the defenses and all these things. I'm just looking at it as, what position would I rather be in this situation? Would I rather go first or last? And in this situation, I'd rather go last. On the golf course, you know, like I told Zach earlier, if you have all the presses on the line, you're getting to 18, you know, like us and Slareth, our matches against him, I want to hit first, because I want to put the pressure on those guys behind us. But in this situation, being a week apart, I'd rather have the last defining moment and, you know, be able to go out there and kind of say, hey, it's me, you know. Oh, and then they kind of ask, well, yeah, Drew played pretty well, but, man, Teddy lit it up today. That's closer to game number one. And so I think that has more of a oomph than, you know,
it's like a human element, recency bias.
Yes. For sure. Although I do think Drew has a chance then to kind of dictate where it goes. Like if he goes out and plays really, really well, then the pressure's on Teddy to, hey, you gotta match it or beat it. If he goes out and stinks it up, all Teddy has to do against Seattle,
dink and dunk,
is just go out and not be a disaster.
Just
right?
Don't Mark Sanchez it.
Yeah. So it does put it to where it's on Drew here. He's going to have no one to blame but himself if he goes out and he lays an egg against the Vikings and Teddy wins the job because he goes out and just, you know, drives in the slow lane but keeps it between the dotted lines. That's going to be on Drew.
As long as he doesn't go in the yellows.
But
that's right.
As
long as he doesn't go into the murders. So
you got to stay.
What's the rule in driving in between a double yellow?
The rule is you can't do it, Manuel. Unless you play for the Broncos.
What's the rule? Don't do it.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Good conversations. We're going to be checking in with Nate Jackson. What do we got going on at DenverFan.com?
Well, Nate will be providing a rapid reaction after practice, so you can check out that video either at the website or on our social platforms.
Great.
He'll be giving us the score, who wins today, Teddy versus Drew. We have Drew up 6-4 right now, officially.
When you
on
say
the website.
We, you mean
the,
you.
The collective group of people that I've been polling as part of this Gallup poll every day. And then Cecil's doing all of his, you know, training camp coverage, all sorts of stuff going on. So check it out. New content going up all day long.
All right. Thanks, James.
You bet. Thanks,
guys. There he goes, James Merrill at DenverFan.com. Okay. The latest odds for Rookie of the Year are hot off the press. And one of the Broncos' draft picks made the cut, but will he see the field enough to have a shot at this thing? We'll deliver those odds coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.